Genesis chapter 29, verses 14 to 35. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob stayed 7 years to get Rachel. But they only seemed like a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when the evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When the morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his daughter, his servant Bilhah, to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." She named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So she named him Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. The children are now dismissed to Children's Church, and Alex will come and preach the sermon.
Apologies that we haven't prayed for Peter. We'll pray for Peter and also pray for the sermon. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this morning into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, you are the true living God who deserves all the glory, all the praise, O Father. Lord, we pray for our brother Peter, who's in the hospital right now. Lord, we pray for God's healing touch upon him and also wisdom for the doctors as they treat him, O Father. We pray the Lord will help him to heal and your hand be upon him during this time with Peter and also with Margaret, O Father. May you cover them with your love and your care. And also we pray and come at each and everyone in this place, O Father, as the Lord brings your word to your people, Lord. We pray you will strengthen our hearts and you speak to us. We lift ourselves into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So much is happening. But in all that, we give praise to God. Amen. The The title for the sermon is The Girl Nobody Wanted. Girl That Nobody Wanted. It's about Leah, Jacob's first wife. And I just want to say, we didn't have a busy week. We had a very easy week. You know, Lenny knows it, Nathan knows it. You know, no exams to prepare for. You know, no kids to look after for. no travels. no meetings. I'm just being sarcastic to myself, in a way. So this week, when Lenny asked me to preach, I said, is it okay if I preach from one of the sermons from Tim Keller, which really inspired me recently? I'm doing this class with Peter Reynolds. One side, Peter's in the hospital, and I'm really, care for him. But one side, I'm happy that he's not here because he'll be with his notes to mark me, if I'm doing a good job or not. I get really nervous, usually. So, but he'll be watching, yes, I know. But I'll deal with them separately, And this sermon was part of a reading. I'm doing this preaching called Redemptive Historical Preaching Method, where you preach Christ from the Old Testament. And I'm not this person, it's pretty hard for me. But as you do the study, and, Peter's been very kind in helping me and Carlo to, take us through this journey. And I said, part of this reading, I was doing this reading about Tim Keller's preaching on the girl nobody wanted from Genesis chapter 29. And when I was asking this question about, some of the things in that class, he said, Alex, I've really loved the sermon. So I adapted and did my own version, and he sent me this. So this sermon, borrowed from Tim Keller and Peter Reynolds, and which really touched me. So I felt like I just want to share this with our congregation. And now, if you think, Alex's, copyrights and all that, it's just God's word, and it's from everyone's Bible. So when we look at this, I know time is short, so I'm just going to look into this three things here. We all know the story of Jacob. Jacob is where the name is deceiver, a man who is a deceiver. And here he comes to the other side of the land to go to meet his, running away from his brother who's going to kill him because of things what he have done. And as he's running away to this other side of the Fertile Crescent, and where he meets with his relatives, mother's side, and he meets his uncle Laban. And there he meets this girl called Rachel, and he falls in love with her. And he wants to get married to her. He works for his uncle for 7 years. But instead of giving Rachel in marriage, uncle, a crafty man, what he did is gave the first daughter in marriage, Leah. And the sermon is about Leah. Now, sometimes when we skip through this, we read it, but we may not really get it. But when we pause and when we read and think and meditate, there's so much, in there. Those narrators have written this with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this truth in here is so deep. So deep. So the three things I want to talk to you today is the longing of this human heart and the disappointment that follows in that longing. And the third one is the answer. The longing, the disappointment, and the answer. See, to start with Jacob, this man running away from his brother. But deep inside, there's so much of vacuum within him. There's so much of longing. Here is a father who loved the oldest one, showed so much of favor to that man and not to the second one. Though the promise to Rebecca is that I will bless the second one to carry that promise. Jacob was the twin brother, was the second one in the line. But Isaac, son of Abraham, the one who received the promise from the Lord, passed it on to Isaac. Isaac passes it on to, trying to pass it on to Esau. But Jacob comes in there as an older brother and deceives his father and gets this blessing. And part of it, he loses his love of his brother, his father. He runs away from his brother who's trying to kill him. And goes to a place where he lost his mother's love as well there. He has nobody there. He's filled with this vacuum, longing for that love. Something could fill me in here. You know, we all have that, isn't it? You know, there are times where we feel like we have this longing. And we try to find this in this world. But we don't find the satisfaction in any of it. None of the creation will give the satisfaction for our longing. And that's what's happening with Jacob's life. He's running. As soon as he comes and meets this girl, he fell in love with this girl and her beauty. And Laban says, okay, let me read this. He says, Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month. Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other men. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. See, in those days, you know, bride purchase, you know, you pay a dowry to get married. And you have around the rabbis, the commentators say that, you pay around 1.5 shekel, which is a month's wages is 1.5 shekel. You pay around 30 to 40 shekels to bride purchase. You know, you give it as a dowry to get married. In some of the, some places in Africa, some places of Asia, you still have this dowry system. You know, and so 1 month's wage is 1.5 shekels. And a bride purchase dowry is like 30 to 40 shekels. If you put the calculation, he's paying around 3 to 4 times of the wages for Rachel. Because this man is so much in love with this woman. Because his love is, you need to understand here, it's not just that love, it's about that, he's trying to fill that longing with this love. He's thinking, if I get Rachel, all this emptiness, all this vacuum, all this longing will be filled, and I'll be that person. I'll be satisfied. But not. That's not true. And that's where it comes to when Jacob tries to make this deal with Laban. Laban is a crafty man. And he instead of giving Rachel in marriage, he gave Leah. So Leah, it says, the Bible talks about Leah. Leah, was it, in verse 25, I think, It talks about Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was in good form, and a very, very beautiful woman. 17, sorry. Yeah, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. And some of the rabbis who tried to explain this in the Jewish community, they found it very hard because it is not a very traditional way of writing about women here. When it says weak in eyes, sometimes we think maybe she's like short-sighted or long-sighted or have some issues with eyes. We don't know what exactly it is. But the later part says, but Rachel was lovely in form, which helps us to understand that Leah is not beautiful. And Laban, a man, in their tradition, you had to get the first one to get married first. or you might not get good dowry money, trying to get rid of her. A father who wants to get rid of this girl. And she gets married to this man who is in love with a sister, not her. Unwanted. Feel disregarded. Feel broken. But one thing here is, what we need to understand here, when you come and ask Laban, I was thinking he's going to, he should have done something to Laban. How can you do this? It says, why have you deceived me? But it goes back to him because he haven't done anything about it. Laban says, you know, in our tradition, we give the older one in marriage first, then comes the second one. You know, even in our Indian culture, we don't get the second one get married before the older one. You have to get the first daughter married in the culture, or else the second one will not get married because the society, it's a very different society there. You know, there's a lot of problems where people start asking questions about, we have a lot of arranged marriage system. So when they come to get married, they'll say, what's wrong? So they have to get this first one married. And coming from India, I could relate with this, what's happening here. And he says, why have you deceived me? I think Laban would have asked the same question. Because previously, when Isaac wants to bless Esau, Jacob went in that place. Isaac would have asked the same question, why have you deceived me? One of the Jewish teaching and the rabbis say that, I'm not reading into the text, but just an imagination, you know, when he went to call for Rachel. You know, in that tradition, you know, you have the ceremony and people be inebriated and, you know, and be heavily veiled when you get married and you don't see the face of the person and they send you. You know, call for Rachel, but Leah answered. And he would have asked the question to Leah, why did you answer? And Leah would have asked back saying, why did you answer to Isaac when he called for Esau? See, he got the medicine of his own here. Why have you deceived me? So he was trying to fill this longing with something, but what happens is disappointment. It leads to disappointment. When we try to fill our heart's longing with anything of this creation, anything of this world, we'll always end up in disappointment. And that is only be filled by our God and only by our God alone. The second point is about the disappointment. As you see, it passes on to Leah. You know, here this girl who was unwanted by a father who was trying to get rid of her, and a husband who does not love her and lives in the shadow of Rachel all these years, and now she's married and the same thing happens. And what was Jacob doing is what Leah is doing now. Leah is doing same thing. She's longing for husband's love, but she's not getting it and she's disappointed. Tim Keller beautifully says this. He says that in our life, it is always We think it's Rachel, but in the morning it's Leah. We thought it's Rachel, but it's in the morning it's Leah. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity says like this: most people, if they have really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want and want acutely something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. He goes on to say, the longings which arise in us when we first fall in love, or first of foreign country, or first take up of some subject that can excite us, are longings which no marriage, no travel, no learning can really satisfy. I'm not now speaking of what would be ordinarily called unsuccessful marriages or holidays or learned careers. I'm speaking of the best possible one. There was something we have grasped at in the first moment of longing, which just fades away in the reality. I think everyone knows what I mean. The wife may be a good wife, and the hotels and scenery may have been excellent, and the chemistry may be, subject may be a very interesting job, but something has divided us. In the morning, it's always Leah. But he goes on to say in that book, in the last chapter, the great chapter on hope in Mere Christianity, which changes our entire focus on life. He concludes it saying, if I can find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Amen. There is always this disappointment when we try to stuff our heart with created things. And in Isaiah chapter 44, very clearly says, you know, God warns the people. You go, you cut a piece of wood, and you put some in the fire, and some you go and worship, and you call it God. And I am here as a true living God. Why can't you worship me? And it's very common in a country where I come from, where you see this literal idol people go and worship. But also in our culture, here in the Western culture, where there are other idols that we create within us. We try to get security from the bank balances, from the people who are around us, from our marriages, from our children. We try to find significance and meaning and security from all of this, and we make an idol out of it. Whatever you try to worship will start ruling over you. But when you worship the true living God and praise Him, He will vindicate you and He will rule over you. And only He could fill that void in your heart and that longing in your heart. And the answer, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, He gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Answer. Praise God. Praise Him. So with Leah, where there is so much is going on in her life, with Laban, with the husband Jacob, with a sister. See, we need to understand, when Bible talks about this patriarchal institution about, you know, bride purchase and this polygamy and all this, first son receives all the double portion and all that, Bible is not endorsing it. If you try to understand it in that way, that means we are not reading it properly. Bible is completely counterculture. It says when you try to practice these kind of things with your own understanding, you fail. It brings devastation in your life. The Bible doesn't endorse that. If you try to understand that way, that means we are actually not reading it properly. In Jacob's life, we see that. In Leah's life, we see that. But what God, what the narrator here says, the author here says that somehow Leah come to know this Lord of Abraham, Lord of Isaac, Lord of Jacob. And here, she's not calling Elohim, the God in general sense. She's calling the Lord, the Yahweh, the one who came and had this personal relationship with people, who's come down for us, the Creator God, the true living one. She found, yeah, it mentioned the Lord, Yahweh. She still, you know, she calls upon this true, you know, this Lord Yahweh, but still she's not completely getting it. But somehow she's calling him, and then she's saying, you know, this time when I have these children, you know, in that culture where when you have the children, that is like, you know, you expect your husband to love you. And here she says, you know, at least now he'll see me. So she names him, you know. She knows that God sees her, but she's still expecting her husband to see her. And then she still wants to continue to see that, you know, she's not getting that love. And she says, this time he'll listen to me. So she names him Simeon, the one who hears. No. And a third time, Levi, this time I'll become attached to my husband. And the fourth time, she says, I will praise God this time. I will praise God. She conceived again when she gave birth to a son. She said, this time I will praise the Lord. And she stopped having children. That's the answer. That longing, it brings disappointment. But if you learn to praise the God who died for you, who came down from heaven, and start praising him, you will see something changing in your life, in your heart. See, Leah, she was unwanted, rejected, disregarded. But when you come to Genesis 49, the promise continues with Judah, who is the son of Leah. She becomes the grand-grandmother of Jesus. Through Leah, who was rejected, comes the Shiloh, the Messiah, through whom the King comes, and who Jesus Christ, the one who's come. Amen. So she got it. She finally got it to praise God. Yes, as humans we fail, but God helps us with his grace. You might be asking, you know, Alex, I thought in all this thing we'll find this moral character way, if I can follow all this thing, I can reach the top of the ladder and I can have a successful life. You know, we need to understand it is not about man, it's about God and his grace, who came down to meet with us. So Jesus, John chapter 1 talks about, beautifully explains it. Verse 11, chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. He's a God who created us. He came to us, but his own rejected him. But through him, we receive salvation. Through his grace, we live. And we praise the Lord, the God who was rejected. And he died on the cross for us. It's supposed to be our death. He died for us. And the life that we live today is his life. So the one other thing, if you want to take home today, let's praise God in all circumstances. Amen. In all that longing, continue to praise him. He will satisfy your heart. The Bible is a very way we might think it might be applying to that time, maybe not today, you know. No. The Bible applies to all culture, all age, all the times. We still live in a broken world. It's worse now, to be honest. But God's grace fills us, comes after us. Now, in his kingdom, the poor are the rich. In his kingdom, the weak are the strong. Because we don't have that in us. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says in it. In Christ we are strong. If you want to boast, you boast in Christ, because in him you are strong, in him you are rich. I just want to share this. See, in your life, you might be a person who've been insulted, humiliated, or disregarded, or felt unwanted by others. I just want to tell you this. Jesus loves you and cares for you. Go to him. And take your prayers to him, because he's a God who answers our prayers and he satisfies our heart. And if you are a person who have done this to someone, you know, God is a God who forgives you. And ask him for his forgiveness and try to mend your relationship with others so that through you, God will bless others. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, we are broken vessels, O Father, but through your grace, you filled us, you blessed us. You helped us to see the truth that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the true living God. And through him, we are satisfied. Even as we pray right now, O Lord, we pray as a congregation. There are many longings in our heart, O Father. And there are many brokenness within our hearts. But Lord, let this word not just be to our minds, but to be something speak to our hearts, O Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, help us to understand this truth and help us to grow strong in us so that we will worship you and praise you, Father. At times in our hearts, O Lord, all the longings and the brokenness be filled only by you and you alone, O Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, help us to see that and strengthen our hearts, O Father, to seek you. We commit it all into your mighty hands this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.